This sermon was recorded at Christ Church Overland Park, a congregation that seeks to be a people fully alive in God's kingdom.
A reading from the book of Acts. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. From Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace, and the next day we went to Neapolis. From there, we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony and the leading city of that district of Macedonia, and we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. "If you consider me a believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning. If I haven't met you, my name is Jason. I serve as one of the pastors here. The great British theologian and missionary to India, Leslie Newbegin, wrote these words: "Mission begins with a kind of explosion of joy. The news that the rejected and crucified Jesus is alive is something that cannot possibly be suppressed. It must be told. The mission of the church in the pages of the New Testament is like the fallout from a vast explosion, a radioactive fallout, which is not lethal, but life-giving. In the book of Acts, Jesus tells his disciples they would receive this resurrection life by the power of the Holy Spirit, and that they, energized by joy, would become witnesses to Jerusalem, to Judea, to Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. They would become people who are sent into the world to bring resurrection life wherever they went. In our passage this morning from Acts 16, we see that God's mission begins to extend out into the ends of the earth through the story of Paul being led across the Aegean Sea to Philippi, and then the conversion of this woman whose name is Lydia. And Acts tells us all of this, not just, again, that you and I would have great knowledge of church history, but because that same resurrection life of Jesus is offered to you and I today. Jesus compels us, individually and corporately, to join this joyful movement of witness to the world. And I want to say at the beginning that this concept of mission, it is not just for people who live overseas or who are called to be clergy, or to go away to faraway places. Mission is actually at the very heart of the Christian life, because mission is at the very heart of God. And so we want to look together at this call to mission in this story through three lenses this morning: open doors, open hearts, and open homes. So let's start together with open doors. In Acts 16, if you back up a little bit, we see how God begins to open doors for mission for his church. Paul and his companions, they actually wanted to go to this region that's in western Turkey. And it says in the text earlier in chapter 16 that they were, quote, kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in that province. So they tried to go to a different place. And then it says the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. It doesn't say how all this happened, if someone had kind of an inward impression, or if someone got sick, or other circumstances kind of, you know, closed it off. But the door just kept closing wherever they tried to go. And so they end up at Troas on the coast of the Aegean Sea. And it's there that the Apostle Paul has, in the middle of the night, a vision of a man from Macedonia. And the man, this is in near present-day Greece, and he is begging, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And it says, there's an important phrase, "We concluded that God had called us to go and preach the gospel to them." So they set sail for Macedonia, And they go to Philippi, this leading Roman city in the region. And as they get to Philippi, it turns out, just turns out, that there is a woman there whose heart God had already been stirring. An open door, a divine appointment, and her name is Lydia. One of the first lessons I think that we can draw here from this passage is that mission really is not ours. It's not ours to create, it's not ours to control. It's God's mission, and we are invited to join in what God is already doing in the world. And that means mission is not primarily dependent upon our planning, our strategies, our resources, our creativity, although all of those are going to be a part of it. Ultimately, to live a life of mission and to be a church that takes mission seriously is to be a church and a people that are completely dependent upon the work and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. The God who calls us into mission is also the God who will guide us in every step of the way. And we can do this confident that God is already at work ahead of us. Wherever you're thinking about going, he's already there. And that's what Paul experienced, the guidance of the Spirit. And I think this sets us free a little bit to follow God's leading in our lives and as a church without having to determine or even know the outcomes. We can leave all of that to God. When a door opens, we can step through it. When a door closes, we can step back. And we can pause, and we can rest, and we can wait. There's something fundamental here about mission, about Christian mission, and really about all faithful ministry. And that is that it is never pushy, it's never aggressive, it's never forceful. Mission, God's mission, is rather gentle, it's peaceful, it's loving, it's yielding to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Another way to put it is we don't force doors open. God is the one who opens the doors. And I think in order to learn this and follow this, we really have to learn the practice of discernment in our lives. Paul had a vision about Macedonia. But if you notice, he didn't just wake up and say, guys, we're going. He didn't move straight from vision to action. There was this intermediate step of discernment. It says that he consulted the community. It says, we concluded that God had called us to go. So in a healthy community that takes mission seriously, vision is never isolated or taken up by one individual. Discernment really is shared. It's a practice to be shared of how God is leading and where God is leading. We can draw from the wisdom of others, and we can bathe the whole process in prayer and in patience. Many times in my life when I've had a big decision to make, I have gain from listening to the wisdom of other people. I've had a lot of decisions I've made where I didn't do that, and I learned from that too, and maybe some of you have as well. The point is, as you and I follow Jesus, whether it's in our individual everyday lives or as we think about our life together, sometimes doors are going to open, and sometimes doors will close, but we discern best when we do it in community, and then we take a step trusting, confident, that God is already ahead of us at work. That's what Paul did, and it became clear that God had opened this door, so they go to Philippi. And as they arrive, they discover something. Not only was God opening doors for mission, but God was ready to open hearts as well. Philippi was primarily a Gentile city. The Jewish presence there was likely very small. It looks like there wasn't even a synagogue at this point. And so on the Sabbath, Paul and his companions make their way to the river. And there's a group of women who had already gathered there to pray. It's an outdoor worship service. And Paul joins them there. And Paul is able to share with them the good news about Jesus. In verse 14, it says this: one of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira. Her name was Lydia, and she was a dealer in purple cloth. Now, folks who wore purple in these days were likely wealthy or even royalty. Dye was expensive. So Lydia was probably a very successful business owner. She was well connected. She was in contact with the elite. It could be that she was kind of the Donatella Versace of her day, you know, kind of connected, designer to the stars, I don't know. But she was a person of means, and she was a person of influence. And it says that she is from this city called Thyatira, a city known for its purple cloth and its dyeing process. Now, this is key because, ironically, Thyatira is actually located in a region that Paul had tried to go before when the Holy Spirit said no. So the point is here, if he had gone to that region, he never would have met Lydia, a divine appointment. It also says that she was a worshiper of God, meaning Lydia was a spiritual seeker. She was attracted to Judaism, to this idea of one God, one loving God who cares for creation, and she was drawn to that. She had met the small Jewish community there. She was responding to as much of God as she knew, but she had not yet heard about Jesus. And so Paul tells them. In verse 14, there's a beautiful phrase, "The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message." And it says, "Then she and her whole household are baptized." Lydia becomes the first recorded Christian on the continent of Europe, right here in the pages of Acts. The phrase, "The Lord opened her heart," I think that's so beautiful and it's so important. If you notice, it doesn't say Paul was so eloquent that Lydia couldn't help but believe. No, it says she did listen, but it was the Lord who opened the heart. And I think there's another reminder about living on mission with Jesus, and that is that it's not about the charismatic personality of the person who's sharing, or even the majesty of the church, or all of its resources and gifts, or whatever. That's not what creates faith in other people. In fact, sometimes I think we are reluctant to share our faith in any way because we believe it's all dependent upon us. Our job isn't to create faith in people. It's to bear witness to the resurrection of Jesus with our lives and with our words. And then we can leave the rest up to the Holy Spirit. From beginning to end, God is the one who initiates mission, he sets its direction, and God is the one who speaks to hearts. Paul walked through the open door, Lydia listened, but it was God who opened her heart. I think that's such a beautiful way to think about the way God works in our lives or in the lives of those we love. I also think Paul's heart probably was opened up a little bit from this experience. I mean, here's another Gentile, another non-Jew, responding in faith to Israel's God, again affirming what Amanda preached about last week, that the gospel reaches across every cultural and socioeconomic boundary, that this gospel is for everyone. Here it is again in real life, right in front of him, Lydia. And did you catch the other surprise here? Remember, Paul's vision was about a man from Macedonia? And then he gets there, and the very first person to respond is a woman in Macedonia. Surprise! I have to think here that the Holy Spirit was again opening the heart of Paul even wider, expanding his imagination, and reminding him again that the gospel is powerful, that it turns things upside down, that it tears down walls of division. One of the most powerful prayers that you and I can pray is for an open heart for ourselves and for others. Finally, God did not only open doors and open hearts, but then we see that actually God opened a home. Verse 15 says, "When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. If you consider me a believer in the Lord," she says, "come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. We've been talking a lot about hospitality in our church for the last couple of years. And we see it right here in the pages of Acts, how hospitality becomes integral to God's mission. Later, Paul and his companions would actually come back to Lydia's house and they would encourage brothers and sisters there. What is this telling us? Well, it's telling us that after Lydia's heart was open, after she was baptized, she began to open her home as well. She began investing in God's mission. She extended radical hospitality. She shared her possessions, her wealth, and likely her influence. Why? So that others could also know and come to experience the fullness of life that Jesus had given her. It's very likely that the first European church met in her home. It's also likely that Lydia became an integral leader in the early church in Philippi. And this is what the gospel does, my friends. It turns us from being recipients of mission into agents of mission, where God takes what we have and who we are and our home and our resources and our gifts and our influence, and he blesses it, and then he transforms it for redemptive purposes. So here's a challenge. There might be some of us here today who have been recipients of mission for a long time. The heart is open, but we have yet to become agents of mission. For whatever reason, we've yet to open the door of our homes, figuratively speaking. We've given Jesus our hearts, but not the rest. And Lydia's story shows us how beautiful it is when someone whose heart has been opened just opens up the rest, gives it all to Jesus, and says, "This is yours." I believe this is God's vision for his church, not just to be a congregation of members, but to be a community of missionaries, of people who are sent into the world with the love of Jesus Christ. I want to close this morning with just a quick personal story of how I have seen this play out in my own life. In 2009, my wife and I were living in Olathe, Kansas, just down the road. We had full-time jobs. We had a 2-year-old son. We recently bought a home. Life was good. It was real good. But then we had a nudge, a vision, perhaps. And that vision or nudge eventually turned into an invitation to come and serve as educational missionaries in Europe. It was going to require several things of us, for us to leave stable jobs, to leave family that was close by, like a mile from us, to leave familiarity of culture and language, and most of all, to lay aside financial security. And y'all need to know that I'm a planner, big time. And I will never forget laying sleeplessly at night and wrestling with this prospect of stepping out into the unknown. But I'll also never forget how over the course of the next few days and weeks, as my wife and I just took one small step of discernment at a time, beginning to experience in real time the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We found renters for our house. We ended up finding a buyer for both of our vehicles, the same buyer, a woman who had been praying for 2 cars for her and her son. And then the linchpin, an email that came to us from the college saying, "Hey, we have found a way to provide a house for you and a transportation." And in that email, the rector of the college quoted Acts 16:9 in our passage today. "Would you, quote, come over and help us?" I will never read this story without thinking about that email, ever. I remember reading it and being completely humbled and just feeling in awe that we became part of something that was larger than ourselves, that honestly we never could have coordinated on our own. And I have to be honest, when it first kind of began to arise, my wife was ready to go. She's like, "Let's go to Europe." And I was like, "No, there are 1,000 reasons why this is a bad idea." I had been resistant, but God was gracious. And he opened the door, and eventually he opened my heart to the prospect of following him. These are just a few pictures of our time serving there. We built lifelong relationships. We had life-changing experiences. It was not all easy. I'm not trying to paint a rosy picture. Our faith was stretched. I don't have time to tell you the ways that God led us. And really in other times since then, some doors have opened and honestly other doors have closed. And sometimes those closings have been very, very painful. But I share this story as just one testimony, my story, of how God can accomplish his mission because he can be trusted to do so. It's his mission and he has the resources to do it. So this call looks different for you than it does for me. It might mean a big step of obedience. It may look like a very small step. It might look like discerning a job or making a commitment to serve in a new way or sharing your story with someone else or literally opening your home. Maybe today the first step is just to have an open heart. I know this, that when we are filled with the resurrection life of Jesus, it will take us to uncomfortable places. God will open doors we didn't see. He will open hearts we never thought could open. And he will truly use us in powerful ways to be agents of his love wherever we are called to go. My prayer is that that would be true for us as a community and for each of us individually. Amen.